Welcome to the Eucharist Podcast with Wyoming Catholic College, responding to the call for Eucharistic renewal by sharing wisdom in God's country. I'm Jeremy Holmes, Academic Dean at Wyoming Catholic College.
And I'm Kyle Washit, its President, and welcome to this episode.
We're going to start this podcast series by diving into and demystifying the Church's technical language of transubstantiation, which can seem intimidating because these words are not familiar. But it seems to me these words aren't familiar not because they're trying to get at something too far away and distant from us, but actually because they're trying to get at something so close to us and so familiar to us that we normally don't think about or talk about or invent words for it. And transubstantiation basically means, just to introduce the essential words we're going to be using over this episode, that accidents of bread and wine remain, but at the consecration, the substance of bread and wine turns into the substance of the body and blood of Jesus. Those are the words we're going to be trying to demystify over the next 20 minutes.
So let's start by going to a really, really basic experience. For those of you who have children, there's that wonderful moment as you're teaching your children how to speak when they begin to recognize color. So I remember teaching my oldest, there was a particular point where she looked over at one of the toys in the room and saw that that was blue, and then she saw that the ball was blue and that the wall was blue. And there was this thrill as she went running around the house, pointing at all these different things that were blue, yelling, "Blue! Blue! Blue!" And I tell the students, that right there is the fundamental insight that the Church's teaching of transubstantiation is based on.
She just discovered the distinction between substance and accidents. To put it in layman's terms, there are a bunch of different things, that's substances, and they're all blue. That's the accident right there.
So you see why it's so hard to talk about this, because it's not that this reality is this highfalutin mystical reality that's far away. It's a reality that undergirds the very beginning of our language and awareness.
And we don't, one reason it is a marvelous moment in which a child has a discovery is just because what we call accidents, which is to say all the appearances that a thing have, they're so modest, they're so unassuming. Blue never hits you upside the head the way a ball can, right? Or the white baseball that grows slowly bigger as it descends toward you in the outfield. When someone says, "and then it hit me," they don't mean that white hit me, they mean a ball hit me. So substances are the world we live in. Those are the things we interact with. And it can be a sort of marvelous moment when you suddenly realize, oh, but every time I interact with a thing, every time I stand on the floor or I'm hit by a ball or I bite into a sandwich, every time there are these appearances that I'm interacting through. I get at the ball through, say, the shape of the ball. The ball is round. Now, round is not a thing. You will never be standing on the street corner and find just round next to you. No, round has to be in a thing because it's not what we call a substance. It's not itself a thing. But every time you interact with a thing, every time you deal with one of the things in your real world, you're going to deal with it through its appearances.
Here's the thing that we want to stress is there might be a moment of vertigo that happens now as we start trying to say what constitutes those appearances. It's one thing to say, okay, I get it. The shape or the color, those are just appearances. They're not part of the thing. But it goes all the way down.
Right. So if I turn on my microscope and start looking at, you know, that baseball or that sandwich, I'm going to start discovering appearances that weren't readily manifest to the naked eye. But they're still appearances. They're still things available to my senses. Basically, everything available to my senses is what we're going to call an appearance. And whether that be the weight, the shape, the size, the color, the texture, and all of those things available to my senses make present to me a thing, right? So to give a simple example, I have a left hand and a right hand. That's part of the shape of my body. right? And the shape of my left hand and the shape of my right hand are not quite the same as each other, and they're about the same color, and they're about the same weight. And if we put them under a microscope, I think we would find about the same structures in left hand and right hand. But when I look at my left hand and look at my right hand, what I'm aware of is that they're both me. The reality that I'm encountering when I perceive my left hand and my right hand is me. If I whack you with my left hand or if I whack you with my right hand, I am the one who whacked you. If you pinch my left hand or pinch my right hand, you have to do that through these sensible appearances, but in both cases, you pinch the same thing, namely Jeremy Holmes.
Now here's the thing that's marvelous about that, is that humans are in a unique position in the cosmos to have this realization. Humans are fundamentally persons, our minds, that perceive through appearances.
They're animals. Share with us the power of sensing. And of course, I don't sense anything in a sandwich that my dog doesn't sense much better than I do. But I still have this advantage over my dog that I can reflect like Kyle's daughter did and realize, oh, the color and the smell and the taste are none of them the sandwich itself. I can distinguish the thing from the sensible appearances in a way that my dog never will.
So here is now a crazy moment where we go from this most foundational difference between appearances and the thing to that is the foundation in humans for what we think about as one of the highest points of our human life, personal communion. We have moments of real encounter with the people we most deeply love where we're connecting to them as the person they are.
As the thing.
As the thing. But through the appearances, the sound of my wife's voice, the sight of my children make my heart just leap with joy because I'm encountering the person, the substance, through the appearances.
And just to drive at that same thing Kyle just said from with slightly different words, what we call the accidents in our technical speak of the church, or the appearances, don't stand between me and my loved ones. They don't. It's not a barrier, like I can't get to my wife because she's back there somewhere behind her appearances. No, they're the portal that bring me to her. The only way I can come to my wife is through sight, through sound, through smell, right? I can come to my children through the feel of them, right? And so accidents, by their very nature, are portals, openings, windows onto things, realities, substances.
And so while that's true at this exalted level of personal communion, it's also true when we eat bread.
That's right. Through the feel of the bread on the tongue, through the taste of the bread, through the shape of the bread and the weight of the bread, through all of that, this is a very humble reality, but it's very important for our topic today. I come into contact with the thing that is bread, the substance that is bread. I don't come into contact with a dog or a cat or some other thing through the appearances of bread. The appearances of bread usher me into contact with, through the presence of, that humble reality, bread.
And so the miracle of the Eucharist is that our Lord said, I'm going to take those appearances of bread and I'm going to take those appearances of wine. And when you come into contact with them, as a person who comes into contact with other persons through appearances, when you come into contact with the appearance of bread and the appearance of wine, in this particular setting, you're not going to be coming into contact with bread and wine, but instead into contact with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven.
If I can just marvel at that for a moment, you know, when we develop this contrast between substance and accidents, the things and the mere appearances, it's clear that the things, the substances, the persons are where our heart is, right? That's the most real reality around us. And appearances are mere appearances. They can't exist by themselves. They're they're almost not beings, right? That they can only exist in real things. And yet our Lord has taken advantage of the skimpy being that appearances have to offer us the Eucharist. And what do I mean by that? I mean that bread is a kind of stopping point for my experience. The appearances of bread usher me, you know, put me in contact with the substance of bread, and that's what I'm in contact with. And if I put bread between me and Kyle and tried to touch the bread, I couldn't touch Kyle through bread, right? Because bread is just its own substance. But accidents don't get in the way, right? The appearances of bread are not a barrier between me and the bread. They are, in fact, the window and the portal that enable me to contact the substance of the bread. So God has taken the humility of accidents, that sort of wispy thinness of their being, right, you might say, and used that, right? The substance of bread could not bring us into contact with the body of Christ because it's too real. But the mere appearances, the accidents of bread are something he can use. He can take their natural orientation toward the substance of bread and redirect it to himself.
Why is this important? Because this is the way that we encounter our Lord in our real world. Going back to this language of real presence, I want to really encounter our Lord as a thing, as a person, as a reality present to me in my life.
Right. So at the level, I'm in the church, and my foot steps onto the floor, and it not only does my shape and weight and heft and all my appearances descend and merge with the appearances of the floor for just a moment, but through the shape and the texture and so on of the floor, I encounter the floor. Right? And I grip the pew, and through the texture and the shape and the surface of the wood, I encounter the wood. And when I approach the altar, through the same thing that's been happening all the way up, as I encounter everyday objects, right, in that same mode, I come to our Lord, and through appearances, through accidents, through shape and texture and taste, I encounter Christ himself. Not transposing into a different mode where, oh, now there's just the idea of Christ, or there's a some kind of symbol of Christ. No, the same way I can touch my wife, I can pick up a sandwich, I can walk on the ground, the same mode that I operate in the world of things, I can approach our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be present to us in that way. And really, that's why the phrase real presence has come to mean so much to us, because it speaks to us of, well, in the Latin, the res, right? It speaks to us of the things. It speaks to us of Christ being in our world the way other things are in our world.
And so we do not come into contact with our Lord through an elaborate, mystical, ascetic ritual like you might hear about from a Brahmin or a Buddhist monk. But we come into contact with our Lord the same way a child embraces his father. That is the opportunity given us in the Eucharist.
Now, there is one difference between how we touch our Lord in the Eucharist and how a child touches his father, and that is that the child is touching the father through the appearances that naturally belong to the father. When we touch our Lord in the Eucharist, we're touching our Lord through appearances, through accidents, that do not naturally belong to him. He already has his own appearances. He has, in fact, all the appearances of a man, as he appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. The appearances of bread and wine through which we touch him are not his natural appearances. And that's going to turn out to make a real difference in how we think about very practical things like distributing communion to the entire congregation, breaking a host in half, small actions that take place in the mass, and we intuitively understand what's going on, but they're all going to depend on this one distinction that makes the manner of Christ's presence utterly unique, without any parallel in our universe. There are many things that are present to us through their own accidents. There's only one case of someone being present to us through accidents that aren't his.
And that we'll take up in our next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharistic Podcast at Wyoming Catholic College. To learn more about Wyoming Catholic College, visit wyomingcatholic.edu.